like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. God speak.
Last week we began a new sermon series called Be Still and Know. And this comes from a marvelous passage that was written in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus continued this invitation to rest in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, when he said, "Come to me, all you people that are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Follow my teachings and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls, for my ways are easy and light." And last week we addressed the issue of living a life that is too busy. If you're living a life that is too busy, you need to slow down. Just be still and know that He's God. My challenge for you last week was to plan an intentional special time with the Lord. How'd that go for you? Good. Well, I'm going to encourage you to do some more of that, but our message today is too noisy. Some of us live lives that are full of a lot of noise. Maybe you can relate to this lady. We got stuff from home and work and school, and then there's sports and advertisements and television and restaurants and radio and lots of noise. We know how to use the remote really well, and we got to listen to tunes in the car, and Apple made it so we can carry a whole bunch of tunes with us wherever we go. But in the book Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster says something very interesting. The fear of being alone petrifies people. The fear of being alone drives us to noise and crowds. Can you identify with that? Sometimes it's hard to be still and to be quiet. And we have all these devices that allow us to keep something going in the background. I found an interesting article by someone who's not a Christian that I'm aware of, but it's a writer named Natasha Dern from the Huffington Post, and she actually wrote an article that was called Solitude, Why Do We Fear It? But look what this secular writer says about solitude. Is it possible that noise has become soothing? So soothing that we can't do without it? I know many who are seekers of noise at any cost to avoid quieter spaces within. To resist or avoid solitude reveals something. Due to a chaotic inner life, the antidote is more noise. The downside to living in such a manner is lack of meaning and connection. When we are too busy in the world filling our days and nights with people, places, and things, we lose perspective. And without perspective, we can't see what's really going on in our lives. And this is why someone can feel all alone in a crowd. Not being willing to deal with a lot of the inner things, we focus on noise and activity and busyness. But Jesus challenges us to go a different way. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me today to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 862. We're going to start with verses 1 to 5, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to leave your Bibles open there. John, chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now, to set this up, Jesus has been talking with his disciples, but he's also been talking with some Pharisees who were standing nearby, and they heard the things he was teaching his disciples. So in chapter 10 of John, verse 1, he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. So Jesus begins talking about something that the people of that day were familiar with. He talks about a shepherd and sheep. And he gives us this vivid image of a relationship that a shepherd has with sheep. And he talks about the fact that he is a shepherd and he has sheep. And those sheep recognize his voice and they can follow him. I think this is one of the interesting things about the difference between sheep and cattle. If you're familiar with cattle drives, where do the cowboys ride? From the back and the sides, and they kind of corral them and they push the cattle. But sheep are different in this relationship that is made with the shepherd and the sheep. The sheep recognize the shepherd's voice and they trust him and they follow him, for he's going to lead them to water and to food and will protect them from predators. When I was in seminary training, we were supposed to read a book that was about leading in the church. And when I first saw the title, I thought it was kind of offensive, and I wasn't sure I wanted to read it. But it was required, and I'm glad I did. But the book was called They Smell Like Sheep. Well, I hadn't been around sheep, but I'm sure it wasn't very good. But what was it talking about? The role of shepherds in a church family. Shepherds is one of the terms that Paul used interchangeably when he was talking about elders. There were three different Greek words that he used interchangeably. One was presbyteros, which means an older man. Another one was episkopos, which meant an overseer. And the third word was poimen, which is a shepherd. And so Paul describes the role of elders in the church as shepherds. And the point of the book was, shepherds don't call the shots from an ivory tower someplace. They're not like a CEO. But shepherds smell like sheep because they're with the sheep. And they're looking for the lost ones and binding up those that are wounded and leading and feeding. But shepherds lead from the front of the flock. And the sheep follow because they've developed this relationship of trust. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Let's pick it up in verse 6. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. And then if we jump down to verse 24, the people surrounded him and asked, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? Tell us, if you are the Messiah, plainly tell us. Jesus replied, I have already told you and you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus gave a very clear illustration and identified himself as the good shepherd. And so if Jesus is our shepherd, there's a very important question that we need to consider. Do you recognize the shepherd's voice? Can you hear the shepherd's voice? Because there's a lot of noise in the world. There's a lot of people vying for our attention. But if we recognize Jesus as our shepherd, it's really important that we are able to discern his voice from the rest. We must learn to recognize his voice. Verse 3 in this passage said, "The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep out by name and he leads them out." In verse 14, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me." Verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So do you recognize your shepherd's voice? If we want to develop that skill, I think it's important to put ourselves in places where we can hear God's word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul writes, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so we need to take personal responsibility to put ourselves in places where we are exposed to God's word. One of the ways that you're doing this right now is by worshiping with the church family. Through the music, scripture reading, and through the preaching, you're hearing the word of God, and that's one really good way to do it. But there are some other ways, and one of those ways is to have personal quiet time. And the reason that's so important is this. We're going to have lunch together today, but I want you to think of it this way. If you only ate one meal for the whole week, how healthy would you be? We understand that with physical food, but it's also important to understand that with the spiritual food. In a personal quiet time each day helps sustain us through the week. So we have worship with the church family, a larger group, personal quiet time individually, and then what I'll call small group study. This might be things like our adult Bible fellowship, or maybe Tuesday night women's Bible study, or other groups in which you might be involved. But there's something different that happens in small groups. Normally in the worship service, the communication goes this way. And when you're having quiet time with the Lord, it's going this way. But there's something really special that happens in a small group study where we have discussion with each other and we help each other grow. I like to call it cooperative learning. And I'll tell you what, putting all three of these things together puts you in a really good place where you can hear the word of God and you can encourage each other. But we also need to put ourselves in a place where we can hear the Spirit of God. Sometimes we just need to be still and we need to be quiet. And the purpose of solitude is to be able to see and to hear. There is a marvelous account in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Samuel, happens in chapter 3. In chapter 1, we meet a lady named Hannah who was barren and had no children, and she prayed desperately to the Lord to be able to conceive. And the Lord answered her prayer. She had this little boy named Samuel, and she dedicated him to the Lord. And when he was old enough, she took him to the priest, Eli, and said, "He's going to stay with you." Now, Eli was kind of old, and he was nearly blind, and so he took Samuel in, and it says one night when Samuel was sleeping, he heard somebody call his name. So the little boy went to Eli and said, "Here I am. Did you call me?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." So Samuel went back to his room, and he heard this voice again, "Samuel!" So he got up, and he went to Eli, and Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." It happened a third time, and then Eli finally realized, high priest that he was, that it was God talking to this little boy. And he says, "Go back to sleep, and if you hear the voice again, say, 'Here I am, speak to me.'" And he did, and God spoke a message to that little boy. He was in a place where he learned to hear God. We need to put ourselves in a place where we can hear God. Now, sometimes it might not be an audible voice. Sometimes it might be a prompting in our heart. But there's another way we can do this, and this is through not only solitude, but meditation. In Psalm 1, 1-2, the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night." In Philippians 4, 8, and 9, Paul continues with this idea about fixing your thoughts on what is true. We've been talking about this in Adult Bible Fellowship in the Gospel of John. Jesus is the truth. His words are truth. And so we should fix our thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. We're to think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So I need to put myself in a place where I can be still and know He's God and learn to hear His voice. The heart of the matter is this. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, when we read the word heart here, it's not talking about our physical heart. It's talking about the core of our being. And this is why it's so important to monitor the things that we're listening to. Because the things that we listen to often influence us more than we realize. And so God's Word says, guard your heart, because it's going to determine the way that you go. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks." So the question becomes, what are you filling your heart with? Who are you listening to? Sometimes you hear about people putting a filter on their mouth. I think we need a filter on our ears too. And sometimes we just need to be still and know that He is God. In the book Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster said, "There's nothing we can do to earn the grace of God, but if we ever expect to grow in our faith, we must pay the price of a consciously chosen course of action, which involves both individual and group life." So it's this choice to have this time of solitude with God, of meditating on His Word. And the group life is being in community with people who are doing the same, so we can encourage one another in that growth. So, what's it going to take for you to quiet down? What's it going to take for you to be still? What's it going to take for you to just be still and know that He's God? I wanted to share something with you that I used in my special quiet time with the Lord this week. I found a song that I was unfamiliar with, and it came right out of this idea of John 10 with the shepherd and listening to the voice. And as I spent time with him, I made this the song of my heart, and I hope it will encourage you too.
Where He leads me, I
When he calls you, will you hear him? Where he leads you, will you follow? Many people live lives that are just too noisy. One of the most striking parts of the lyrics of that song to me was the last verse when it says, "There is a great broad road to nowhere, and many are there." And they're listening to whatever suits their fancy of the moment, and it will lead to them being lost. But we have a gentle shepherd, but we need to recognize his voice. If your life is too noisy, you need to quiet down. You need to find a way to make that time of quiet. I got an Apple Watch as a gift a couple years ago, and it has this thing that comes on a little bit after I put it on in the morning, and it calls it mindfulness. And it wants you to be mindful of your day, but it doesn't really tell you how. Isn't it interesting that Apple has recognized that we need to be mindful about things? Well, what do we need to be mindful about? We need to be mindful of our shepherd and his word, which is truth. Now, if your life is busy and if it's noisy, I get it. But this is so important. And I want to remind you about the truth of the matter when it comes to spending time with Jesus. If you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't want to do something, you'll find an excuse. And we have an enemy that loves to give us excuses, and we need to stop listening to that voice and learn to listen to our shepherd. So my challenge for you this week: plan a special time this week to be quiet with the Lord. And I want to remind you that you have this thing called the power button, and you can turn things off and stop the noise. It's up to you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for sending us a good shepherd. We thank you for what we read in the pages of the Gospels of how he called people to follow him, but he gave them a choice, and he invited them into this deep and satisfying life following the good shepherd. But Lord, sometimes we live busy and noisy lives, and it all drowns out the sound of our shepherd's voice. So, Father, as we continue to practice this spiritual discipline of solitude, help us exercise self-control this week in turning the power off, in focusing on being still and being quiet and knowing that you are God. Many of us loved the song we sang this morning about coming to the garden alone. But sometimes, Lord, our times of prayer are filled with wish lists and requests. But there's that line in the song, he walks with me and he talks with me. And Lord, whether it's through an audible voice or merely the promptings in our heart, or whether it's through the written word, we pray that we can put ourselves in a special time this week where we will listen and strive to hear your voice, seeking your lead in how we should live our lives. We ask you, Lord, to speak into our lives each day so we know how to recognize your voice and, more importantly, how to follow it. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.